welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a very special interview with Jen McClellan, the founder of Plus Size Birth and host of the Plus Mommy podcast. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 116. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
How pregnant are you? And how old's your toddler? Just tell us everything.
I'm sort of pregnant. No, I guess I'm officially 15 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
And my toddler is 19 months and 2 weeks. I'm going to start with the pregnancy stuff because it's pretty simple. So The main thing this week is... Last week, I talked about how I was going to try to wean off the diclegis, right?
Yeah.
No.
So still no. Still a hard no.
I went off of it for one day and felt so sick. So Right back on it. I'm going to just try for a couple more weeks, see what happens. So, But that was whatever. It's fine.
It's fine, we should say, because it's not known to have any negative side effects at all to the pregnancy. Like, it's fine to keep taking it.
It's pregnancy category A, which, like, nothing is category A. I don't think Tylenol is category A. I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Stuff people take all the time is almost everything is category B, because category A means there's enough like human evidence that it's totally safe, and you have to have a lot of fucking evidence to prove that. So yeah, it's a very, very benign medicine. So and it's fine that I'm still taking it because I also have one more refill before I have to bug my doctor about it. We're doing fine there. And then this week, I think I'm starting to really feel movement.
Oh my God. It all starts to feel so real when you feel those little flutters and kicks.
It's weird, though, I have to say, because, well, first of all, I'm only 15 weeks. And that's super early. But they say on the subsequent pregnancies, you feel things earlier. But also this time, it turns out last time I had an anterior placenta, which is in front, right? That means that your placenta is on the front side of your uterus, which kind of pads like the feeling apparently, and you don't feel movement till later.
Right.
And I didn't feel movement, I think, till like, I wasn't certain until like about 22 weeks, I want to say, last time. And this time I have a posterior placenta. Thank you, placenta. Oh. So it's in the back. So not only am I on a second pregnancy where you feel it sooner, but it's in the back. So I would feel it sooner for that reason.
Yes.
So I'm definitely feeling flutters and kind of rolls and stuff. But I realized that I was ignoring them. I think I've been feeling them for about a week, like maybe since 14 weeks.
Wow.
But I was ignoring them because I have had phantom baby movement ever since I gave birth to my baby. Like, I think we talked about that, right?
Right. Yeah.
I would just get like random feelings of like kicks and movement and stuff. And, you know, whether it was gas or just, you know, I don't know what the phenomenon of phantom feelings are. But, you know, people have phantom limbs when they get amputations and stuff. So, you know, it's a thing. When we talked about it on the podcast, we got so much feedback from people saying like, oh, my God, I have that, too. So I think I was confusing the real movement with phantom movement because I was
like,
so used to it.
There is a baby in there now. It's not a phantom. Unless you're pregnant with a ghost, but I don't think you are.
Ooh, I don't think so. Do ghosts show up on ultrasounds?
Looks like they do if you look at those 3D images.
True. That is true. It'd be so much easier for like Ghost Hunters International or whatever if you could just bring a sonogram machine to the haunted houses. And like, oh, there's one. There's one. Oh, you got twin ghosts.
Oh my God, twins! No!
We're only prepared for one ghost.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, so that's exciting. And, you know, last time I was a little disconcerted by the movements. This time I'm trying to be a little bit more sentimental about them, I guess.
Oh, right. Wasn't someone telling you at that time, like, enjoy every moment of it or something? You were like, I mean, it's just the thing that's happening. Or,
well, I think a lot of people do, you know, because I think a lot of people really miss it after it's gone. But if you just are a person like me who gets phantom movements, you don't have to miss it.
You'll have them forever.
Have them forever. But, you know, it's still, I don't know, it feels a little less alien because I try to connect my toddler with like the feet movements I was feeling when I was pregnant with him. And it gets a little, it's like, okay, he was actually that little creature in there. Mm-hmm. So this little creature in here is going to be, you know, assuming everything goes well, like just like him, you know, not in personality, but in existing in the outside world. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I have a mental disconnect on it. It's so hard for me to understand. Like,
yeah, and they're so subtle at this point, too. Mm-hmm. Once they really start picking up, I wonder if you'll feel stronger kicks this time around, too, since your placenta's in the back. And
probably.
I think once that starts, you'll really won't feel so alien about it. That's my
right about that.
Thought.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I'm definitely feeling like the flutters, you know? There's an occasional moment where I feel like almost like I've gone over the drop on a roller coaster. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like a little one. And I think that must be
like a little butterflies in your, in your tummy.
Yeah. And I think that must be the baby like rolling. You know, so you're like, oh, that's a, and then there are times where you're just like, I don't have to pee. Oh my God, I have to pee so bad. And I'm like, is he just like kicking my bladder?
Maybe. So. How big is the fetus now? Are you tracking it on like a vegetable comparison app or something?
You know, last time I was so obsessed with it. I haven't actually looked. Let's see.
I would guess at this point, I would say like a plum.
Okay. According to the bump. At 15 weeks, the baby is as big as a navel orange.
Oh my gosh, that's bigger than I thought.
Aren't navel oranges a little smaller, though? I don't know. I always feel like it's like, are we talking about a navel orange, like, grown conventionally or like an organic one, you know? Like
that's one pumped with GMOs.
Yeah,
that's a significant size of something to have bumping into your bladder. I think he's already urging you to pee there with those bladder kicks.
Something is. So either that or I have like a spastic bladder. So I think the easier answer is that I am pregnant. So,
yeah.
And then, but that's about it with pregnancy. We're still waiting for my next appointment in a couple weeks. And, you know, I think I'm going to talk about toddler stuff in our BFPs and BFNs because I'm eager to get to our interview today.
Okay, cool.
But first, I want to hear what you've been up to this week. How old is that toddler of yours?
She is 20 months and 1 week. And this week was pretty good. It was pretty easygoing. Yay! Especially after last week where I was like solo parenting with a sick husband.
That's right.
So I just have like a few pretty cute little things to report that just tickle me.
Okay.
So the first is Cece has started saying awesome.
So
and
cute.
I just love it. I mean, obviously we say awesome so much because like I'm a dorky 42-year-old and like that's still the word that's just stuck in my vocab. And so she's just like, I just love it so much. And then another thing with the language is she's been putting two words together more and more. Like Moana, she likes to listen to the Moana song, right? Make way, make way. But she says like mana, you know, I know what she's saying. And she'll go like mana, thong, mana, thong. Like she wants to hear the Moana song.
So
like,
cute.
Oh my God, you're growing up. And then, of course, her other favorite thing, snacks. She's like, knack, me? Knack, me? Like if I'm eating something, you know, and she wants some of it. Me?
It's impossible to eat a snack in front of a toddler and have it all to yourself.
Yes. I have been known to hide in the kitchen and eat potato chips and stuff like that. Because it's just like, no, you guys don't get any.
Well, you end up with nothing.
Oh,
I was
trying
to eat a muffin this morning, and my guy was like, neck. I was like, oh, fine, okay. He's just going to be, more, you know, like he was, please, peace. Mm-hmm. He now says, like, peace instead of more. He's like, peace, peace. And I'm like, how can you say no to that? I ended up with like a quarter of a muffin. No breakfast. And he ate the rest of my muffin.
I know. It's not like they take, like, delicate little like fingerfuls of your food. It's like whole palm comes down on the muffin, grabs as much as possible. So yeah, I feel you on that one. But it's so cute. And then along a similar line, she's singing more songs. So I mentioned a while back that she was singing like our bye-bye song, you know, but not all the words correctly, but the tune and kind of the sounds. It's like, papa, mama. So there's that. And I think I mentioned that she kind of like sings along with the ABCs.
Mm-hmm.
So our new favorite is Twinkle Twinkle. We have a little star projector in her room that projects stars and moons. And she loves to, before bed, she'll be like down, down, and wants to lay down on the ground, on the carpet. the shag carpet, which I know you'd love to point out my love for shag carpets, and look up at the projection and be like, you know, it's just like so cute. And then two of my favorites, I have some recordings here if you want to hear them.
Oh, yeah.
She loves Happy Birthday. She sings that one all the time. And it's really cute. She'll just like start singing to herself, like when we're on walks and stuff. Like it just comes into her head and she starts singing it and humming it. And that's just, I don't know if maybe Elle didn't do that or it never occurred to me that babies would just kind of like sing to themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm in love with it. But here, I have a couple special ones I want to share with you. And I have some recordings if you want to hear. So the first one, this random song, I think from the 80s, came into my head the other day because I was like, everybody clean up. Or just like, I'm always like telling everybody in the house to do something. Everybody do this. And then I started singing, everybody, 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 everybody. I'm like, I don't even know what that is, who sings that. But Steve found it and played it. And he's like, oh, I love this song because, like, in the chorus, the guy chimes in and he goes, do, do, ow. Like, I loved that as a kid. So he played it for us, right? So I'm going to play you that song first so you know what I'm talking about. Just a little bit from that song. Okay.
Oh, I remember this.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is it? Who sings that?
Apparently, it's a band called Black Box.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't know that's who it was. Cece loves this song, and she's very into doo-doo-ow, doo-doo. So that's what I want to play for you. I mean, she'll just go around singing it. If that song's not on, we'll prompt her, and she sings it and giggles, and it's awesome.
Can you sing that for me?
Do, do, do. Ow!
Everybody, 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 everybody!
I do. Do, do. Ow!
Yeah!
Oh my god, so cute. Do, do. I don't know, she's just clearly so tickled by it.
Yes, she really is. It's always with a smile on her face. And then the other one that's big in our house is the old classic Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice, because you know we've got our ice machine and everyone in our house is obsessed
for
with ice.
Sure.
And I just cannot ever say ice without being like Ice Ice Baby. It's one of the detriments of growing up in the 80s, I swear.
We are 100% there as well, because my guy is obsessed with ice, and every time he's like, ice, ice, so I'll be like, ice, ice, baby, he's like, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, so I got her doing her little bit for that.
What about ice, ice, baby, ice, ice, baby.
That's so ice, ice, baby.
It's just hilarious to teach these little toddlers songs that aren't like the typical farm animal songs and hear them sing them. It's just, I don't know. It's a funny disconnect, I guess.
Well, you know, I am 100% on board with like the pop songs instead of the, you know, kids songs. So my guy is on the verge of being able to sing Lizzo.
Nice.
And recently we were listening to Juice by Lizzo, and he started like singing along, but it's more like one word here and there, like two hands. We'll have to post these on our socials, right?
Yes. It's too cute. And then the last thing about Cece is she's obsessed with brushing her teeth, which sounds like you're all going to be jealous of me because I have a baby who actually likes to brush her teeth. But it's actually a little bit of a problem because she just does not want anyone else to brush her teeth. Like I made the mistake of giving her brush herself a couple times, and now it's like all her. And if I'm like, my turn, so I can actually brush, it's like a scream match. And she wants to brush all the time. Like every time she follows me into the bathroom when I go pee, she's like, brush, 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 and goes and gets out her brush and all this. And I was like, you can't have that much fluoride toothpaste. So my solution to the problem was to buy an infant toothpaste with no fluoride in it, right? And that's what I like put on her brush for all the other times during the day that she quote unquote brushes her
teeth. Does she actually like do a brush movement? Or because my guy, he just like chews.
No,
like he likes chewing on the toothbrush, but it's not
mostly
very effective.
Chewing. Yeah, it's mostly chewing for sure. I'm not too concerned about it because she's young and we try to get in there. And also, Elle did that, you know, her own quote unquote brushing for a long time. And she's been to the dentist a few times. And I'm always like, how do her teeth look? Because she does a lot of her own brushing, even when she was young, you know. And let me know if I need to take over. And they're like, oh, it's fine. So I don't
know. That's good.
Yeah. But it's just hilarious how much she just wants to brush those teeth.
Do you remember how old Elle was when you first took her to the dentist?
2.
Okay. Because I feel like I'm behind because, like, a lot of people say either, like, 6 months after the first tooth erupts or, like, a year. Hmm. And we were putting it off after a year because we're like, it seems like a hassle. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think it's necessary to take a toddler to the dentist in the middle of a pandemic.
No.
So.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
They don't do much. You know, the dental hygienist does a cleaning and the dentist comes in and just like looks around at the teeth and gives you a general statement of the condition of the mouth. I don't know. I think as long as you're brushing every day, it can wait a while. That was my pediatrician's advice too. It was just like,
okay.
So
that's good to hear.
Yeah. Well, that's it for me. Should we take a break and come back with our interview with Jen McClellan?
I think we should.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. All right, we are back, and this week's special segment is a super exciting interview with Jen McClellan. Jen is the founder of Plus Size Birth and the Plus Mommy blog, as well as the host of the Plus Mommy podcast. She helps people navigate the world of plus size pregnancy, shares tips for embracing your body, and laughs her way through the adventures of parenthood. Jen is also a childbirth educator, skilled patient advocate, professional speaker, wife, and mother. And Jen is here with us, and we're so excited. Hi, Jen!
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
We are just going to jump right in because we have so many questions for you. So
let's do it.
Okay, so my first question is, I want to know how we can be more inclusive in our language in when we're speaking about people with different body sizes. So I know like your blog and your podcast use the term like plus size, but you also use the term fat. And I know that there's a lot of women who are raised to believe that fat is like a slur or a bad word. And I was wondering if you could just talk to us right at the beginning so we can understand, like, in your, you know, experience, how should we be talking about different bodies?
Sure. I think it's always important that we listen to the language that people use when they talk about their own body. Mm-hmm. So if you have a friend that is like, I'm fat and I'm here and you know, they're really like body positive and feel great in their body and they use the F word, then that's giving you permission. Mm-hmm. And you can even ask. And I think with all things, right, we can ask permission. But if someone never uses the word fat, then I definitely wouldn't bring that word into their world. It could make them feel really, really uncomfortable. So I always encourage people to listen to the language that other people are using and to ask. But plus size seems to be a safe term.
I think that's a really good way to look at it, too, because I think, you know, especially if you're a person who wants to be sensitive, it can be you're so worried about stepping on toes and just being able to ask, like, how do you refer to yourself is such a great way to open things up, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, right. You don't want to, like, that's not the first thing you want to ask someone when you meet them, though.
And if it doesn't come up, then it doesn't come up. There are certain things that we navigate carefully and other things that come up in conversation. But, you know, I've heard, love your podcast, and you've talked about the word geriatric around pregnancy, and no one likes it. And that's the same as obese. No one likes being called obese. So it's just being mindful of some of that language that we use when topics around our bodies might come up. So just being sensitive to what other people prefer.
I love that. So, Jen, how did you get started on your journey to writing and podcasting and advocating for plus size pregnancy and motherhood?
Well, it all started with my big fat positive. Most of our stories, right? I found out I was pregnant and went online and Googled being plus size and pregnant. And oh my goodness, it is a different Google search than when you just search pregnant. I read a lot of negative things. And just nothing that made me feel like I could have a vaginal birth, even. It was like, you will develop gestational diabetes. You will have a cesarean birth. And, you know, the comment sections, I had my big fat positive over 10 years ago now. There were a lot of comment sections back then on the internet and blogs, and they were pretty nasty. It was like, you know, like, plus size people, but it was more so like fat people shouldn't even become parents. And I was like, wait, what? And I didn't get it. Like, I'd always existed in a larger body. I'd always been a curvy girl, but I'd always been healthy and proactive and, you know, just never felt like I couldn't do something because of my size around even pregnancy. And so to read all of that was really defeating. And I went on to have a completely healthy pregnancy. You know, you don't think the internet tells you you can't, but actually statistically, it's more likely that you will. And I gave birth on my knees at almost 300 pounds.
Yes.
And was like, you know, hey, my body is really amazing and incredible. And why isn't there positive evidence-based information out there on how people who are plus size and already pregnant can feel good about their bodies and know where to find maternity clothes that fit our body and talk about nutrition in a way that isn't focused around weight and weight loss and is just about fueling our bodies and moving our bodies and, most important, connecting with a care provider that will treat us with compassion and not bring their own bias to that conversation.
Did you encounter any healthcare providers that brought some bias into the conversation on your personal journey?
I went to the same OB I had gone to forever, like most of us do when we find out we're pregnant. And she was just like, well, I'm glad you're 30. And I was like, okay, we'll just see how this goes. I hired a doula when I was 5 months along who was like, why do you think you're high risk? Like, you can have whatever, have a home birth. And I was like, okay, I respect other people's choices, but I just wasn't sure what my body could do because everything online told me I was high risk, where in fact I wasn't. And so I switched to a midwife 5 months into my pregnancy and even switched hospitals. And that was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
That's great. That's great. So does that experience inform, like, how you communicate to your audience and what you tell people? How has that experience shaped your journey of becoming an advocate?
Completely, because as a plus size person, when I switched to that midwife, she was the first care provider that ever touched my body with compassion, and I was 30 years old. And she looked at me and was like, of course you're healthy. I was like, I read online, big girls have big babies. And she was like, that's what your hips are for. You can birth the big baby. And I just had never had a care provider made me feel like anything more than just my weight. And I never felt empowered. And I walked away from my visits with my doctor wanting to be really proactive with my nutrition, falling in love with water aerobics. It really changed my whole view of health as a person of size. And so I started blogging when my son was a few months old back in April of 2011, because I'm like, okay, let's change this conversation. And so it's been over 9 years and I've supported thousands. I mean, my blog is about to hit 6 million page views. I mean, it's been a huge journey. I've had so many amazing opportunities to not only speak to you know, people, but to speak at the National Institutes of Health as a guest speaker to leaders in maternal health care and really help to change how people of size are treated during pregnancy, because we all want to feel supported and receive evidence-based information.
I love that. What a great story.
Thanks. Yeah.
And I feel like also, 10 years ago, I feel like that was the height of the, you know, B-roll of plus-size people walking down the street, just their abdomens, and the war on obesity, and everyone was freaking out about, you know, this supposed health, massive health crisis, and it was all this negativity. And I feel like you must have come around at a time when people were clearly desperate for the help and information you provided. So... Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it exploded so much. I mean, I just was like, I'm going to write a little blog. Like, I had no idea this would become my career. Like, no way. And overnight, you know, Instagram wasn't quite around yet. Facebook was the thing. And overnight, I was like, oh, it'd be fun if I got like 50 followers in a month. I was getting like 50 followers a day. I have 178,000 followers on Facebook because it just grew and grew because no one was having this conversation the way I was at the time. And now more and more people are, and it makes me so incredibly happy. But with that said, we really haven't come that far as a medical community in changing the way people of size are mistreated and biases. And we look at the cesarean birth rate for people of size, and it's astronomical. And I've said this to care providers speaking at big conferences, like, there's more to this. Care provider bias against people of size plays a role in the outcomes that people of size have during pregnancy and birth. And I mean, it gets really, really unfortunately just shocking. Like, people are told their vagina is too fat to birth their baby. And I'm just like, but there's no evidence to support this. And there's clear bias. So there's a lot of work, unfortunately, that still has to be done even 9 years later. I've helped to create baby steps in teaching people how to advocate for themselves. But as a medical community as a whole, there are so many studies to show that there is a clear bias.
So that leads me to my next question, which is, now that you've been advocating for over 9 years and meeting so many people who have told you their stories, what would you say are the top... like the biggest challenges that plus size people face when they're like on their fertility and parenthood journeys? What are the things you hear over and over?
Well, the first one everyone's going to nod their heads in agreement with, it's, where can we find maternity clothes that fit and are cute? I mean, that's like a non, like, I'm not, that's not like my work helping people to advocate for themselves, but that's like the first thing that comes up is everyone, when you're pregnant, you just kind of want to feel like every other pregnant person.
Sure.
You want people to want to touch your belly, and, you know, you just, you want that feeling of being included. And when you are plus size, it's so frustrating that we're looking statistically at 60% of people in their childbearing years are classified as overweight or obese. So it's actually the majority, but yet even Target only goes up to a size 2X in maternity. So it's just kind of frustrating there. But after that, after we, and there are tricks and tips, and I have them on my website, Plus Size Birth, on where to find maternity clothes and belly bands and nursing bras and all the things. But after that, it's, how do I connect with a size-friendly care provider? That is the biggest hurdle that people face.
Can you share some tips on how someone could go about doing that?
Absolutely. I think it's really important that we first reach out to our friends, right? Especially our plus-size friends, and say, hey, did you like your care provider? Share your experience with me and get some names and talk to your coworkers and get those referrals. And then it's really about, if you're able to call ahead and schedule an interview ahead, which, I mean, how come with pediatricians we get to talk to them ahead, but we don't get to talk to our own care providers? It's frustrating. But
so true.
Even, even just calling your selected medical group and saying, do you have any BMI restrictions? Because sadly, especially if someone is wanting birth center birth, as an example, a lot of facilities do have BMI restrictions. So people will spend time and excitement going somewhere and paying that copay only to be turned away. And it just makes you feel so defeated. Mm. So just asking some of those questions. And then when you arrive for your appointment, making observations. One thing that a lot of us don't think about is just the importance of being able to sit down and feel comfortable. And yet, next time you go to a waiting room, look around. Do all of the chairs have arms? Because mm-hmm. if they do, then that's stating that this is not an inclusive facility. Mm. Does the blood pressure cuff, is the correct size being used? That is something that's missed so often, because if the wrong size blood pressure cuff is being used, then you're going to be told you have high blood pressure when you likely don't. So right. there's a lot of things. Are you being provided with a gown if you have to get undressed that fully covers your body? Because when we aren't covered, we don't feel supported. Our dignity is taken away from us. So it's this really uncomfortable power position of this care provider telling you things, and yet you don't even feel secure. So mm-hmm. all of those things matter. And the one thing that I really encourage people to do is ask your care provider. Really listen to how they answer those questions. There are a few things that are different and are recommended, but there's really not a lot, and you shouldn't necessarily be classified as high risk just because your BMI is high. It should be really on your overall health and on an individualized basis. So those mm-hmm. are some things to really pay attention to that I think are so incredibly important. And it's not just your doctor, it's also the medical facility. Some facilities also have BMI restrictions around your options. So you might not be able to work with midwives. You might not be able to get in the labor, the birth tub. Like, so really asking these questions to set yourself up for success.
Thank you for sharing all of that. That was, you know, that it's shocking. It's shocking to hear that. And I'm sorry that people have to face that kind of treatment, especially when, you know, going to the gynecologist and the OB is already so sensitive and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I'd share that I skipped over and shouldn't have that applies to people of all sizes is that scale, right?
Like that
scale is hard regardless of your size. And we don't talk about how many people in pregnancy are recovering from eating disorders as well and can be easily triggered. So knowing that you have options, I'm always going to encourage people to stand on that scale. It's one measurement, but it's an important one. But you have options. Please don't say the number. And I really hope they're not saying the number anymore these days. I don't hear that happening as often, but it used to be pretty standard. They almost grab the megaphone and tell everyone in the waiting room your weight. But say, you know, I don't want the number to be said. You can stand on the scale backwards. Maybe that sounds a little silly, but no one else is going to see it besides one or two people in the back. And then you're not even tempted to look at a number that can be very triggering for some people. And you also, as a mentally competent adult, have the right to refuse anything that you're not comfortable with. So you have the right to say, you know what, I weighed at home and here's the sticky note. Or say, I don't feel like being weighed today. And that is your right. And I don't think we're told that we have that right. And when you know that you do, then sometimes it helps you to consent to something that makes you feel a little uncomfortable, knowing that it's your choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's so much discussion about weight in general, even for thin women in pregnancy. And there's not a lot of evidence, as far as my understanding goes and my reading is that the evidence for, you know, everyone's so worried about excessive weight gain during pregnancy, whatever the fuck that means, right? And thankfully, my doctor never once brings up weight. He's a saint, right? I love him so much. But, you know, you hear about all these women who are told by their doctors, well, you've gained 15 pounds and at this point you should have gained 12 pounds. So you're going to need to watch your food. God. And it's just, it's such a mental, I don't think, like you said, many people realize just how much emotional and psychological weight women especially have been forced to like internalize about their weight their whole lives. And like you said, with eating disorders and everything, I think that it's really important to push back with providers if possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I will say there is evidence around people with a higher BMI of helping to reduce a lot of weight gain. So we have evidence to show that if you, weight gain is limited, then it helps with to reduce the increased risk around gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, and other things. So you're hearing very commonly that people shouldn't gain more than 11 to 20 pounds when they have a higher BMI. It's broken down by categories, but that's the most common. Within my work, I hear 15 pounds, which, oh my goodness, right? Like, wait, didn't Kate Winslet gain like 70? Not Kate Winslet, which was the other Kate. She gained like Middleton. 70 pounds. And, yeah. I don't know. It was a while ago. But one of the Kates gained like 70 pounds. And then, of course, the next day after she gives birth, anyways, that's a whole nother episode. But, you know, we're here. We told these things, but what matters to me is that if you've connected with a size-friendly care provider, then those conversations around weight and weight gain can be done in a way that isn't stigmatizing. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about nutrition and physical activity, like that's important for people of all sizes. But when you are a person of size, it looks a little different because not everyone, but so many people have spent their lives dieting. That's my story. I've dieted my way all the way up the scale because studies show when you diet, it doesn't really work. 96% of diets fail and you end up gaining all the weight plus more. So pregnancy is this really amazing time to get out of that diet mentality and learn about nutrition in so many wonderful ways. So it's actually not uncommon for people who are plus size to lose weight during pregnancy. Wow. Now, that should never be encouraged. Mm-hmm. It should never be prescribed. But it sometimes happens if changes are made in your lifestyle. And that is my story. But we should never assume that people who are plus size aren't athletes and don't eat amazingly. So it's this fine line of, okay, the evidence shows you really want to try to not gain more than 15 pounds. Oh my goodness, what does that look like? But if you're doing the things and working with a great size-friendly care provider, that ultimately your body will gain the amount of weight it needs to have a healthy pregnancy if you are following some great evidence-based information on how to care for and nourish and nurture your body during pregnancy.
And I imagine you have resources for that type of information also on your website.
It's such a tightrope, like, oh, weight is so stigmatizing and but then when you're plus size, you're told not to gain a lot of weight. So what do you even do? And it's a lot, but I think it's just important that we also bring up what the evidence says. And of course, all of us want to have a healthy outcome, whatever that looks like. And sometimes a healthy outcome is a cesarean birth. Sometimes a healthy outcome is that you develop gestational diabetes, but then you learn different things about nutrition. Like you shouldn't feel that because something incurs or you incur an increased risk that you failed or that you're a bad person. That's a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. Now is really this amazing opportunity to tune into our bodies and our babies and our – I love hearing from plus size people that are like, during my pregnancy, it was the first time I really touched and loved on my stomach. That's huge. That's life-changing because we should touch and love our bodies regardless of whether or not we're growing life within them.
Shauna, I'm loving this interview, but we need to take a quick break and then should we come back and ask Jen a few more questions?
Let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and we have a few more questions for Jen McClellan of Plus Size Birth and the Plus Mommy podcast.
So kind of transitioning to the topic of trying to conceive, because I know we've also got a lot of listeners who are TTC. What advice do you have for plus size people who are trying to conceive? And do you have any advice for plus size people who are facing infertility that might need to use assisted reproductive technology? I listened to an episode of your podcast where you were interviewing a mom about her journey of infertility and, you know, going through IVF and all the tests and stuff and like kind of the challenges and biases she faced in that experience. And so I was just wondering if you could speak to trying to conceive and then also dealing with infertility at that time from your perspective.
Absolutely. My advice when people come to me and say, well, I want to get pregnant, but everything I read online and my care provider tells me I need to lose all this weight first. And my advice is treat your body as if it's already pregnant. So when we're pregnant, we're not dieting. We're looking at nutrition in a whole nother way. We're looking at nutrition how we feed our kids, right? They intuitively eat. So learning about intuitive eating, finding an exercise that feels really good in your body. Another shout out for water aerobics. You know, starting a walking group with friends, you know, whatever you can do with what the world looks like at the time and our accessibilities to different fitness routines, but finding something that you enjoy, right? Because that's the difference. That's how we sustain being physically active. lately for me, it's been going for a walk to the park with my son and just getting into the routine of that. So having a routine and vitamins, like looking at how to nourish and nurture your body in multiple different ways and connecting with a size-friendly care provider. Weight loss might be a byproduct of all those things, but it's not the focus. And mm-hmm. so that's the difference. And your body will become so healthy if it isn't already by doing all of those things. And the real key is that size-friendly care provider, because for part two of your question, mm-hmm. there is especially a very hard road for people of size to navigate if you need fertility support with a higher BMI. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there will be so many doors slammed in your face and you will just be told to lose weight. And you will also be told to have weight loss surgery and all these things that really prolong your ability to even get pregnant. So if you're 34 and mm-hmm. a care provider is telling you, I'm not going to work with you until you lose a bunch of weight, you have to out look at the risks of age, being advanced maternal age, and having a high BMI. I mean, there's a lot that you need to take into consideration in navigating how you want to proceed forward. There are definitely size-friendly OBGYNs and reproductive endocrinologists out there. You just really have to work hard to find them. And I have a whole guide that you can download for free on plussizebirth.com on how to connect with a size-friendly care provider that goes in far more depth than those first tips. Mm-hmm. But it's not easy, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's really a crisis that people of size are facing, and it's why it's being written about in the New York Times now. You know, mm-hmm. like we're talking about how this mistreatment and who has the right to say someone can or cannot receive supportive services when we see increased risk for people who are over the age of 35 and 40, yet they're being marketed to by fertility clinics. Mm-hmm. But if you have a high BMI, you're being turned away.
That's heartbreaking. As someone who's gone through fertility, infertility, infertility treatments, it just breaks my heart to think that people are being turned away and just told bad advice like that. So yeah. I'm so glad that you are sharing your voice and spreading information and knowledge about all of this stuff. I can only imagine how beneficial that is to people out there.
Thank you. I mean, there are some increased risks, absolutely, and we need to talk about those risks and not be afraid to talk about them. But ultimately, if someone is aware of the risks and still wants to proceed with IVF and they mm-hmm. are otherwise healthy besides having a higher BMI, then there are care providers out there who will support you. I want Good. You to hear that and know that. It's mm-hmm. just, unfortunately, an uphill battle to find those care providers.
Well, Jen, it's been amazing having you on the show. I really feel like I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. But that's what your podcast is for. Everyone go subscribe to Plus Mommy right now so you can hear more about this. And all your interviews are super interesting and great and just a wide variety of experiences on your show. It's always really entertaining and informative to listen to. But before we go, we are called Big Fat Positive, as you know. And on our show, every week we do a BFP or a BFN that we share with our audience. And so we like to ask our guests if they could share a BFP with our audience as well. So do you have a Big Fat Positive you'd like to share with our listeners?
I do. And it's relatable to this time in our lives. Distance learning was a success this week.
Oh my gosh.
Yay. That's huge.
Last week, it was a big fat negative. So I'm feeling some light and that things are getting better. So I felt like I wanted to shout that from the rooftops. I
know. How old is your son?
He's 10, and it's rough, but we're, you know, last week he was kind of getting onto YouTube a little when he showed up. This week, no more YouTube, and Good. He's excited about a state project he's doing on Colorado. So just giving hope to other people out there who might have school-age kids that it gets easier.
Good. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, one major highlight of having a toddler during this time is not having to worry about distance learning, mm-hmm. I have to say. There are other challenges, yeah. but yeah. this distance learning thing seems super challenging. And
oh, yeah.
What grade is he in?
He's in fifth.
Wow.
Yeah.
It must be so hard for the kids, too, because, you know, the social aspect of it is so huge.
Oh, completely. And we even had a pediatrician visit where I was like, and he was in the room like, I feel like Brayden was depressed before distance learning started because he wasn't seeing his friends. And then in the car, he said, Mommy, you used the right word. I was depressed. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, my heart. So even though I'm like, you know what? I don't care what scores you get on tests. I just care that we're learning as much as we can and that you are seeing friends and feeling better. So to all the parents out there, you're all doing whatever you can with what you have available to you and you're doing your best.
Wonderful message. Jen, thank you so much for being here with us today. I know our audience is going to love you, love hearing from you. Where can they find all of your wonderful resources and everything you have to provide?
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I didn't come across too negative. I know we wanted to cover some heavy things in a short amount of time. So I promise you, I've got a lot of positive and empowering information out into the world. If you are trying to conceive or thinking about becoming pregnant at some point and you are plus size or you are pregnant and postpartum, head on over to plussizebirth.com, plus size birth on all social channels. And then I'm loving the Plus Mommy podcast. It's just over 2 years old now. And so the tagline is from bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. So it goes beyond just pregnancy, but we got a lot of pregnancy stories and about raising body positive kids and loving ourselves and interviews with amazing plus size clothing designers and actors and actresses. And it's a lot of fun. So I hope you'll check it out at plusmommy.com and Plus Mommy on all podcast apps.
I love it. And you mentioned earlier that our listeners might be able to get a discount on your products. You want to talk about that?
Yes. I have a book, the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide, available on plussizebirth.com that covers everything you could want to know about being plus size and pregnant. So use code BFP for 30% off.
Amazing. Jen, thank you. You were wonderful. I'm so glad we got to connect with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, and let's talk soon.
Yes, please.
All right, Shauna, should we take a quick break and then come back with our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it. All right, it's time for our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Laura, you're up first, and you teased that you're going to talk about something with your toddler. What is it? What you got?
Yes, I have a BFP,
okay,
which is my toddler's first trip to the beach.
Whoa, I didn't realize he hadn't been to the beach yet.
I know. I kind of assumed he had in a weird way. Like in my mind, I had kind of like imagined that we had just gone because it's a thing you do in Southern California. You go to the beach, but we just had never gone. And I think it was a logistics thing with naps and blah, blah, blah. But finally, I was like, it's freaking hot outside. We need to go to the beach. And we just took a Tuesday off, even, you know, we work from home right now, so it wasn't that hard. But, you know, we just ditched a Tuesday and went to the beach. And it was amazing.
Oh, I bet. I miss the beach.
I mean, it was a bit of an ordeal, to be fair. You know, going to the beach with adults is hard enough because you have like a cooler and you have your beach chairs and you have, you know, towels and it, you're lugging all this stuff. And in Los Angeles, the beaches are like so wide. So you have to carry a lot of gear across a lot of sand. And then you add a toddler to that and it's like a whole nother layer of complicated. But it was so worth it. He like absolutely just adored it. We got there about 9:30 in the morning, which is about an hour later than we intended. But, you know, like I said, about all the logistics.
Yeah.
And I mean, the minute we got there, he was like just completely engrossed, right? Mm-hmm. Like the sand and the waves and just everything was just hitting his little brain. And I had like completely forgotten in this whole quarantine situation what it was like to have a fully engaged and entertained toddler.
Right?
For hours. Like, he was just fine. You know, like, obviously, I wasn't, like, letting him run off by himself, but, like, he didn't need screen time. He didn't need anything. He just was perfectly happy with playing in the sand, and then we would go into the water, and he was just ecstatic about being in the water. I mean, like, that's the only word I can think to describe it, because he was just laughing hysterically every time the waves came in.
Aww.
And it was just so fun to see him like that. And the only downside was that I thought maybe he would be so exhausted from the beach, he'd, like, take a nap in our little beach tent. That was not going to happen. He was, like... so wired and so into everything, and he kept being saying, like, beach, beach, and I was like, yeah, we're at the beach, that there was no way he was gonna nap ever. No. So we decided finally around, like, noon to just get in the car and drive home. Like, we had our little lunch on the beach, and then we drove home, and I thought he'd fall asleep in the car. Nope, not at all.
He didn't even
no.
He must have been so jazzed.
He was just so wired, and he also just loves trucks. So the drive home, it's about a 45-minute drive. He was just like, chuck, chuck. And there were, like, a lot of trucks on the road for whatever reason, probably because it's a weekday and everyone's doing their work. And so he was just happy watching the trucks. But so we got home and he, of course, passed out. And he ended up sleeping. He usually naps from, like, 12:30 to 2-ish, right? He napped from 2 to 4.
Oh, my God. I would be a nervous wreck.
And I was
How's that
going
to affect his bedtime? But you gotta let them sleep if they're exhausted.
I know. Well, he was just obviously exhausted. And then from, like, 4 to 6, when he was awake, he was a wreck. Like, just a puddle of emotions. And, you know, he was exhausted and overstimulated. But I have to say, it was 100% worth it. And maybe you have a child who does sleep in the car. And so that would be an even better way to do it. But, yeah, it was... I just can't wait to go back. And now he keeps talking about beach. And then when I show him pictures, he goes, beach, beach. And so we got to figure out a way to get to the beach more
often.
Sure.
Yeah. Having gone and done this the first time, would you have any tips of how to make this easier for people going to the beach with a toddler, or what you might do next time, or what you might do again the next time?
We got a beach tent, which was a huge, like, plus. I think that that is a must have, because it provides a lot of shelter and, like, basically a blanket, right, for you to be under. So I definitely recommend one of those beach tents. I got mine on Amazon, you know, there's some generic brand or something. And we did get a pail, like, sand pail and shovel and rake set from Target. That was a huge hit as well. So I thought maybe he might be too young for it, but no. I mean, he didn't understand, like, packing the little shapes in, you know, like, there were little stars and stuff that you can make little sand sculptures out of. It that didn't make any sense to him, but all he just loved shoveling. So that was good. And then I kind of got some crap about this from some family members. But I got him a life vest, and I don't know if it's necessary, but about 2 days before we went to the beach, I started panicking and realizing that, you know, we were going to go to the beach in Santa Monica, and the waves are actually can be kind of strong there. Like, it's not a placid mother's beach, right?
No.
And I didn't know how my guy would react. And he, you know, he likes to run off on his own. Obviously, we were watching him like a hawk, but all he has to do is slip away for a second. And if he got under those waves, you know, you wouldn't be able to find him. So I impulse purchased at, like, midnight in my pregnancy anxiety, a toddler life jacket. It was, like, Coast Guard rated. And I kept it on him anytime we were in the water or near the water. And while it was probably overkill, I feel good that I did that. It really made me feel... You know, it didn't mean that I could let my guard down, and I knew it wouldn't, like, keep him on his back in those big waves or anything, but my idea was that if he slipped away, if a rogue wave got him, we'd at least be able to, like, see him on the surface to grab him. And so for my paranoid brain, that made me feel really good, so...
I think that sounds really smart, and I'm just so curious why people would give you crap for this.
I don't know. People like to tease me for being overly paranoid, or maybe it's, like, a false sense of security, but I have been accused of being a little paranoid, but I was Googling it, and there are experts.
I mean, you didn't have him on a leash, did you?
No, I did not have him on a leash.
If someone does put their kid on a leash, I'm not going to judge. Whatever.
Oh, God, no. I mean, I have considered it. I mean, like, especially if you have a kid who doesn't listen.
Right?
No judgment about people putting their kids on a leash or those backpacks that have leashes on them, because safety is more important than anything else, right? Like, if the option is your kid running into the street versus having them on the leash, of course, you know? And then for me, it was, you know, life jacket or me being sort of crippled by anxiety and not wanting to get in the water. And so I did the life. And he didn't mind the life vest, you know? Cool. I think it's also probably a good rule, right? You know, if you're around the ocean or a lake, you wear a life vest until you know how to swim, or even if you're on a boat. So,
yeah.
But it was, he just loved it. I'll have to post some pictures and video of him just so excited by the beach. So, highly recommend if you live somewhere where it's still warm enough to go. And on a weekday, social distancing was not hard.
Good.
So, okay. Yeah. So I felt we had masks, you know, if anyone came close, or we were like walking to the water, or there was a risk to like walk by someone, we wore masks. So, but yeah, it didn't feel crowded or dangerous at all. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
How fun.
So that's my BFP, kind of long, but it was a big deal. It's a milestone. Yes.
If you remember when Cece went to the beach for the first time, the only photo I got of her was sitting in her car seat carrier in the back of our beach tent, snoozing. So, the first kid really gets the fanfare and excitement about first time at the beach. Second kid,
not so much.
But I do want to take her back now that she's older and could obviously like walk around and enjoy it. And it'll be a lot more fun.
Yeah, totally. So that's my BFP. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP, and this might be the dorkiest BFP I've had to date.
That's a high bar. Cannot wait to hear about this one.
Okay. So I'll tell you the backstory first. Steve realized that there was some stuff that dropped behind the washing machine, and I guess just decided, like, the only way to get it is to go onto Amazon and buy like one of those reacher grabber things that you usually associate with short people or older people, you know, that like it's like about 30 inches long, and you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's a little grabber.
Explanation?
A little grabber thing. I think people know about the grabber.
Yeah.
If not, we'll post it on our website.
Yes. So, you know, I was like kind of laughing at that, and it came in a pack of two, and I was just like, what? Okay, I guess like we're people that have reacher grabbers now. And we never got around to getting the stuff behind the washing machine.
It's just still there, some mystery clothes.
Oh, it definitely is. But I had to talk about it here because I discovered that it is amazing for cleaning up the living room or family room after the kids have been playing in there all day. I don't have to bend down over and over and over to pick up all these little toys and stuff. I just walk around with my reacher like I'm picking up trash on the side of a freeway, and I'm just like, boink, boink, boink. And I think my back is feeling better, and I really think it would be good for pregnant people. Like, I would have loved to have this when I had a big old belly.
My mind, because I need this. I need it now. Because
you
crouching
have to
down to pick up all the little toys and the giant Lego things. What are those called? Duplos or whatever they are.
Duplos?
Oh, my God.
It's I know. You can bend
You're
down like
crawling around, and my belly's getting bigger. Mm-hmm. All right. I think I have a new thing to put in my cart.
You have to. I really think it needs to be a parent staple. There was like Cece's leg warmer was like way under Elle's bed. Elle has a full size bed for whatever reason. and it was like way under there in the middle of the bed. And I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get that? And I was like, a reacher. And I just went and got, like, you can get stuff under beds, behind cribs. It's little balls that roll under the entertainment center.
Yep.
I am just thoroughly excited that I discovered this use for this item. So get it, Laura, get it.
I am absolutely 100% getting one of those today.
Okay. And that's it. That's really all that I've got. Thanks again to Jen McClellan for being on our show today. Listeners, if you want to get 30% off of her book, just go to plussizebirth.com and use the special code BFP. Listeners, if you have any BFPs to share with us, you know we love to hear them. Laura, where can people reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. You can also find us on our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com, or send us an email or voice memo to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. You can also join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. Please answer the two questions we have to make sure you're not a robot. And you can join our private community where we have amazing conversations with other people who are trying to conceive, pregnant, parenting, and other fans of the show.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen and spread the word. Let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.